You are now listening to Bullhook Golf, an unfiltered golf podcast taking you inside the ropes with unfiltered stories, insights, analysis, and exclusive interviews. Welcome back, everybody, to Bullhook Golf, the podcast. I'm Matt Cook. This is Bobby Brown, and this is episode number 75. Not 75. It's not a good round when you're shooting 75s out there, Bobby. Not what you want to see.
I saw a lot of them this year, man. It's no big deal. You just get over it, bro.
We were just talking off air before we jumped on. 15 for 15. So yeah. That's not 15 cuts in a row, folks. That is 15 cuts made this year while Bobby's been on the bag, and 15 missed cuts. So it's been a rough year. I'm going to take it easy on you tonight there, Bobby. Hey, so we've got a jam-packed show tonight. So we've got the recapping of the Wyndham Championship that just took place, to where we saw some big names not make it on to the FedEx Cup. So the season is officially over. We've got the FedEx St. Jude Championship, which is going to be the first tournament of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then we're going to dive into the 2024 PGA Tour schedule that just came out with some signature events. So we're going to be talking about that. I hope you got your notes ready, Bobby. And then we're going to be diving in, lastly, into the LIV Golf Greenbrier event. By the way, did you know that we were wrong last week when we said that they're going to go on another hiatus? They've got Bedminster coming up.
Yeah, then they go for five.
Then they go. Yep. So we were one off. We were one off. So we get to actually, I actually missed that we've got a upcoming LIV Golf Bedminster to talk about as well, and to go into our golf picks but louder segment. But before we do, I just want to give a quick little note from our sponsor, Swannies, which is here with a fresh take. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.co. And for our Bullhook Golf listeners, you get an exclusive 25% off using promo code BullhookGolf25. You can see it on me right now. The hat is fresh. If you're watching on Spotify or on YouTube, whew, I got the shirt on today, Bobby. You see the little teal in there? I mean, let me unbutton this for you. Little teal action. Yours is on the way.
Where's mine?
Yeah, yours is on the way. You got a package coming, buddy. I got you covered.
Bro, did you see their new hood? They had this new hoodie out. I hate
they sent it
for golf clubs.
They sent it.
But God, if I ever ponied up 60 or 70 bucks, this new hoodie that they have. I can't buy a hoodie right now. It's 100 degrees everywhere, right? Got a closet full of them, but there's always room for one more, Matt.
Listen, there might be an episode next week to where I'm wearing that hoodie, because guess what? They did send it, and man, it is fresh. It is clean. Oh, I absolutely love it. So now on to our episode.
You did it in Phoenix. You better crank that AC to 58 if you're rocking a hoodie. Oh,
it's going to be cranked here in the studio, Bobby. Don't you worry. Now, story time before we get into our segments here, which the first part is I'll lead us off, okay? Because on the last episode or two episodes ago, I talked about the fact that my short game was abysmal. It was non-existent. If I got up and down 25% of the time, I was doing good in a golf round. That's why I either shoot under par because I'm hitting all the greens, or I'm missing greens and I need to get up and down and I don't. So that ends up being an 80. Let me tell you, Bobby, Mike Correa, he ended up coming and having me down to the Raven here in South Phoenix. And boy, oh boy, we worked on some short game stuff. And he taught me some things that I've never known before. Now, I've worked with some of the top instructors in the game. Butch Harmon. I mean, you look at Andrew Getzen, who's been Phil's. He's up at Greyhawk. And I worked with him during my mini tour days. Several people at the Butch Harmon facility. And I got to tell you, there was not a single instructor that has taught me short game this way. And all of a sudden I felt like I had touch. I was making crisp contact with the chips. So I got to give a quick little shout out to Mike Gray, because this is going to be a game changer moving forward. And it's a completely different technique, or at least in my head, it's a different technique. So if anybody's ever out in the Phoenix area and wants a great golf lesson from somebody who can speak it how it is, so not one of these to where it's like, oh, I've got this PGA golf professional box that I put everybody into and you're going to get worse before you get better. I got better immediately. Now Mike always says, he's like, man, you just pick up stuff so fast. So he loves working with me, but I'm telling you, I've worked with so many instructors. I know the good ones. I know the bad ones. Mike Ray is definitely one of the good ones, but Bobby, that is my short little recap to bring you up to speed with my short game short. Right now.
It wasn't short.
Yeah, it wasn't short at all. It was quite long, to be quite honest. But Bobby, talk to me about how your week wrapped up last week with SH and what's going on moving forward here.
Well, as I told you early in the week, you know, we finished second in putting at the 3M, and Einstein showed up with the new putter in the bag, and we played it, and we finished about 120th in putting, and we finished a little better on the leaderboard. I'm going to say tied for 80 something, but I don't think we really had a chance, honestly, to tell you the truth. We kind of battled the first day. I think we shot one over. We had a couple three putts, you know, no real mistakes. I mean, he hit a lot of greens, but he didn't hit a lot of fairways to start with. And you saw, you know, if you were watching the telecast last week after the rain delay, you can see what happens like to Russell Henley when he made a couple bogeys. You drive in the rough here, you're probably going to make your share of bogeys. So we didn't do anything very good. And I never had the rush of like, oh, we're going to, well, maybe coming to work Friday morning, I thought it was going to be fine, but we made a quick bogey, but he just didn't do anything spectacular. He made some nice par saving putts, but we never really had any looks that were super duper close where I keep waiting for him to hit that run, you know, that hit some kind of a staying patient, hit some kind of a run. And he never really hit any kind of a run. He didn't hit it horrible or anything like that. He just didn't get the ball in the hole and he didn't score. And I would say that on Friday, we teed off on the backside and obviously saw number 15 where Charlie Hoffman made the albatross. It's probably one of the easiest par fives on the PGA Tour if you drive it in the fairway. And we hit something on the back edge and he almost putted it off the green. And at 1 second, you're one over par and you're like, fuck, if he buries this, we're one under and that's on the cut line. It's, you know, it's going to go to two and there's plenty more birdies when something like that happens, something good. And I almost putted it off the green, shit my pants and walked out of there 30 feet from the hole for eagle. And you walk out of there making bogey and it was kind of a little bit deflating, but we kept trying. He never got in a pissy mood about it or anything like that. He just didn't play that good, but I don't know, man. I don't get why, you know, the scouting report on him from Micah and some other guys and from the Scotty Cameron guys is he loves switching putters all the time. And I just don't know any, I've never seen a great putter on the PGA Tour that changes putters a lot, right? They usually might bench one here and there or going through what Rory or Scotty are going through, but Rory and Scotty can get away with that because they're Rory and Scotty and they hit it so good. It doesn't matter what's in their hand. They're always probably going to be in contention. So I don't know. I didn't really want to talk shit to him about it. And I didn't want to say anything that I didn't, he knew I didn't approve. He could feel it, you know, but you don't want to be negative about it before the tournament starts and already giving him some kind of negative energy before he even hits a putt with the thing. But what the fuck's he thinking? What are you thinking, dude?
It's a tough one, Bobby, because you know what?
I don't get
you're
it.
Right. You don't end up with somebody who's a consistent putter if they're constantly switching putters because putting is all about feel, but you do get a streaky putter from time to time, which you saw you had a really good week prior, which then tweaking around with it doesn't make sense.
Can I just make this statement? It comes down to this. It ain't the arrow. It's the Indian. It's not the arrow. It's the Indian, right?
That's the good old saying.
Yeah. Good putting doesn't come. Well, you just don't pull a one putter. Maybe randomly you hear a story that somebody changes a putter and they go Yahtzee or something like that. I mean, we got a little bit to talk about that with Lucas Glover and Ben on coming up, but there's scenarios are different, but I was bummed about that. You know, I told you, you know, 2 months ago, I couldn't wait for this year to get over, quite honestly, because I've never had a year like that. You know
rough
what I mean?
Year for Bobby B.
Hey, are you here for me, Dan? I'm glad everybody
I'm here for you.
There needs to be here for me, but I couldn't wait for it to get over. So I'm back home. We missed. We never really even came close. We ended up finishing 83. And all you really wanted was a chance just to get to the weekend, because you could fucking play like a bat out of hell on the weekend, just start firing at everything. And if you crash and burn up at flames, at least you're having fun doing it. You're giving it an effort. I never got it that far. Obviously, it was my birthday last week, and Lori came up with the boys last week on Wednesday.
How'd that go?
It went awesome. A little birthday dinner at a place called Liberty Oak, this Liberty Oak Steakhouse in downtown Greensboro. He's a big golf guy. Anyways, he was a cool guy. He took care of our appetizers and our dessert. Listen, I was just happy to walk in there and see Lori and my boys, because I hadn't seen them in 3 weeks. So it was awesome. They kept super busy while I was the next day and a half, the next 2 days, only 2 days while I was working, did the zoo and some animal parks and science museums and that kind of stuff. But we drove back home, and I'm back home, and everything's great. I love being home.
Love that.
My boys are really into tennis right now, so we've been waking up at the crack of dawn every morning. We have a big tennis stadium over here around a couple blocks from me called the Credit One, where they play a big women's tournament, and they have all the courts outside, so we can go out and play on the courts and that kind of stuff. And it's kind of cool. I was a pretty good junior tennis player, nothing special. I won some matches, never played in high school or anything like that. But my kids are, well, you know what the strategy is when it's during the summer and you have a 6 and a 10-year-old. You tire the shit out of them.
Yeah,
and
get them out there as much as possible.
Start at 7 and you stay on the courts till 8:30 or 9. You come back, grab a snack, and then you go to the pool for 2 hours and throw the football around. And then you go on a bike ride. It's hotter than shit here in Charleston right now. And you just keep them busy, and you just chill, and you go to Whole Foods and go to Trader Joe's and you go to Publix and Costco. And the next thing you know, you're like, I just spent $1,000 in 72 hours. And the fridge looks empty, bro. I don't get it.
I don't either. Inflation is a hell of a drug. That's what I've heard. Well,
can I tell you something? I'm a Trader Joe's and Whole Foods expert.
I am too.
I get what I need to get. And I might randomly see something different that we've never gotten before, but I know where that bill falls all the time.
Same. The
time. And my bill is
it's up. It's been going up.
I told Lori, it's up 23% to 28%. Just because of prices. I'll drive 30 minutes out of the way to go get Costco gas now. I'm over it.
Trader Joe's, I noticed the same thing. And I've been meaning to ask you if your bill has just exponentially gone up because mine has.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's unbelievable.
We went into Trader Joe's two or three days ago, and it's usually $140 some, and it was like $184. And I didn't add anything special, maybe a couple of their cheapy candles and some whipped cream or something like that. But it was the standard shit we always get. So anyways, I'm not doing much. You know, the fall series, Matt, doesn't start until the second week of September. We go back to Napa, and he has already gone back home to Korea. I will tell you this. I was kind of relieved for him. I told him in the locker room after we missed the cut, I'm like, the only good thing I can tell you is you finally get to go home after 2 years. You get to go see, you're getting married December 2nd. Your wife gets to see her family. You get to see all your friends. You've seen the look. He's been done for a while, living in hotels, traveling every week, airports, this and that. And just
poor guy needed a haircut.
Just, he's got a great bank account. Well, you're going to get the Sung Jae fade now.
Yeah, there we go.
My kid's got a little moxie about him. I don't know if you can tell, but he's got a little attitude and he's got a little moxie. I actually had a couple players come up to me last week and they're like, I just look at the way he walks around the putting green. You know, he's got a little strut and he's got a little moxie. So I think he likes being a little bit different. But I'm at the point where I'm getting attached to him, right? Where we're getting attached to each other, and we're having as much as we can. We're having, I wouldn't say personal conversations, but we're having, you know, conversations that are very interesting, and they are brewing his intellect dialect, so to speak. You know what I mean? And he's learning more words, and he's asking me, he's asking me some off the wall questions. Here's a random one. We were at 3M, and he goes, oh, he always goes like this. When I know it's a tough one, he goes, oh, I have a question. And I'm like, oh, I have answer. And he goes, we both Spring Hill Suites. Your water feel funny in the shower? And I'm like, oh, it does feel a little funny, but I thought it was the body wash. Usually I bring my own body wash, but you know how some body wash or soap or shampoo can get all, you've been in hotels when you were on the road plane.
Oh, absolutely.
Greasy and slimy, and you can't get it off. And I'm like, I think it's a shampoo. And he's like, no, not true. I have custom shampoo. He's telling me he has custom shampoo. And I'm like, conditioner? He's like, custom. I'm like, body wash? Custom. And I'm like, he's like, wait, watch. let's ask Google or whatever. So he's like, and it turns out that the water in that area of Blaine, Minnesota has all these funky ass minerals in them and that kind of stuff. Mm. So that's a random off the wall story.
Was that a good thing though, with all the minerals, or was that a bad thing? I feel like minerals are good.
He seems to think it was a bad thing, but Koreans are different, right? They don't put any shit into their food. This guy certainly doesn't put any shit into his body. Like when his leg was fucked up at the John Deere a few weeks back, I'm like, I have Aleve, I have Advil, I carry this thing called an emergency tramadol. If my back goes, it's not like, can't really do Vicodins or anything like that. I get too tweaky out there and they make me just feel weird, But he's like, oh no, I don't put medicine in. I don't put medicine in this body. And I'm like,
okay, he's all natural.
Brooke Shields. But it's funny, he comes in, it's not like I'm checking him out or anything, but I can tell under that shirt. And then the gym time he does, he's ripped, right? He is an athlete, but he comes in early in shorts and t-shirts and stuff like that. And he goes and works out at the golf course. And then I'm in the locker room and I had to babysit him. Basically, he doesn't want to go anywhere by himself. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting and I'm watching him take off his shirt and put on the other shirt. And I'm like, no wonder this guy is so good out of the rough. There's no rough that can stop him back. So big picture, he's at home. I don't really have anything to do for 5 weeks. I told you I like this guy, Carter Jenkins, who's having a pretty good year on the Corn Ferry Tour. And we've been talking about maybe coming in a week or two for a guest appearance. I had a couple agents reach out to me about the same thing on the Corn Ferry Tour. Had some parents and agents call me about the USAM, which is next week. But, next week, excuse me, Lori starts school and I'm just going to enjoy being home. There it is.
Careful there, Bobby. Well. Careful there. Now, I do have to bring up a very cool fact that your boy is going to be on the PGA Tour next season because Pearson Cootie got his card.
I mean, honestly, there's a good chance. I have a feeling that my boy is going to be right there in the fall at Napa because he was.
That'll be sweet.
Yeah, you saw last weekend another chance when it got off T8. To a bad. Yeah, T6, I think, actually, T6.
Oh, I might have missed one of those loops.
Maybe, or I looked early, but no, I think I'm pretty good on those. It was T6, but a couple three putts for him to start the round, on two and three, and guys are shooting 6 to 8 under out there like it's absolutely nothing. And it's funny, this tournament last year they had a chance to win two, and they had the same kind of a Sunday. But one more win, the automatic promotion is still in play on that tour. One more win, and he would come immediately to Napa and get to play all the fall for, world rankings, try and win a golf tournament, get Maui and super status and that kind of stuff. And so that's going to be exciting. But to your point, yeah, it is going to be exciting to have Daniel out there full time. He's done his time. He's done a bunch of those tournaments. He's very comfortable. My God, 6 wins in about 4 years. I mean,
pretty solid.
You got to be pretty comfortable in that situation on the back nine on a Sunday. I don't think it's phasing him. And you get used to that after a while. It's been a while for me personally. It doesn't happen that much. But, that time, that wonderful time that I had with Dustin, it felt like every other week you were feeling those juices flowing in. And just hats off to him. He's just a great kid. And I couldn't be any more proud of the person he is besides the caddy he is. I just love the person he is, right? So
love him. Okay. I mean, he was great on the show with the episode that he came on. We got to get him back on soon.
He's out. He was shelling me on that show. He's out. I told you he won't stay with me. He can stay with me for about 1 week because I'm critiquing.
He was ripping you a little bit.
Yeah, the clothes are everywhere and the McDonald's cups next.
Are you getting payback when he's not even here?
Yeah, and then he goes downstairs and I go, where are you going? Why are you going downstairs? You were just downstairs. It's like, oh, Uber Eats. And he comes back up and it's just a 31 flavors milkshake. I'm like, wait,
31 flavors milkshake, Baskin Robbins.
And I tell him to shave and stop wearing the Vans, but in the long socks, and he's his own person, but I'm old school.
Talk about moxie. Your kid's got it.
The kid's got some style. It's official. Yeah. Got some style. So that
works for him.
So I'm chilling, man. I'm going to get to watch him for the next 6 or 7 weeks. I have a feeling I'll be out there for a week or two. They have some bigger tournaments coming up. They got one coming up in a couple of weeks, and I've had some great luck. And I love this little golf course in Boise, Idaho, Troy Merritt Country, and the Albertsons. And man, I would just love to go and help.
There it is,
dude. I just like being on golf course, right?
There it is.
It don't make me bad.
No, I don't. Now let's get into the Wyndham Championship recap here. We're talking a little bit about SH, but let's talk about the fact that, you know, Russell Henley had a really good chance of closing that one out and had a few bad breaks that led to Lucas Glover taking the victory there.
Yeah, he did. I mean, listen, I will say one thing about rain delays and weather delays. They help some guys and they hurt some guys, right? They're big in match play. They're not as big in stroke play. But when Russell Henley's in a groove like that and he's looking, you know, like it's going to be a two-horse race and then they come back right out of the, you know, you're not in the same frame of mind. You're not into the flow of the round, how quick the groups are moving and that kind of stuff. You've sat around the locker room or player dining and you've had a chance to analyze the situation and it's sticking in instead of staying in your own zone out there. It can be detrimental for some, but let's be honest, he didn't hit a bad shot into 16 and they all spin down into the same area. And to get into that divot like that was just bad luck. And quite honestly, it was a pretty good bogey to get out of there. But obviously that, you know, that carried over to the next tee shot, which isn't easy, but it's not difficult, you know, and he hit it in the right rough on 17 and, you know, missed the green there, had to come out sideways. And you could just, I think this is the second time in the last two or three years that Russell Henley has had this thing. He's basically almost, he's got one hand on the trophy and it somehow has gotten away from him. But, you know,
Lucas Glover's been playing great though recently.
Can I tell you something? Lucas Glover, if it's funny, I was telling my next door neighbor this, yesterday coming back from the pool and we were talking about Lucas and I said, listen, if I put 20 tour pros on the range and I put Scheffler, Dustin, all these guys, and I put Lucas Glover in the middle of them, you would not know the difference ball striking wise. And honestly, the ball that Lucas, the noise that the ball makes coming off of Lucas Glover's club face, it would be the top 0.01% on the PGA tour. That's how impressive a ball striker is, but he's had the yips for 10 years. And I'm telling you, this broomstick is coming, is starting its mate
to make lab golf.
You know, Scotty started it. Lab golf is huge. They're starting to have a rep out there now. They had a rep in Reno because I told you my guy was tooling around with the broomstick. And he's very close with Ben on. Do you know if you bet the broomstick, it was a broomstick exacta last week. Ben on finished tied for second. Who'd have known that? The two guys with the broomstick. Yeah. I know who started the round with, who started the week with a broomstick, but I don't think he ended the week with a broomstick because he was experimenting, man, he said, with a bunch of different stuff. But the fact is guys get the yips. Troy Merritt's going through the yips right now. But for Lucas Glover to have him, for self-admittedly tell you, I've been, I don't know what's happening with tap-ins. And it's always with tap-ins with Lucas, you know, with that right arm or right hand would start flinching. My God, he missed that 11-inch putt at that tournament some years ago that made national headlines. But you just couldn't root. 20 years that guy's been out there. 20 years he shakes everybody's hands. He looks everybody in the eye. He asks them how their day is going. You have a model PGA Tour player and a model PGA Tour person, but just person in general right there winning. And I couldn't be any happier. And anybody that sits in that locker room or that caddy room couldn't be any happier for him to win a tournament. And his caddy, Tommy Lamb, who's done, you know, it's been out here for forever back and forth with nothing but great players. Stricker, Davis, Love, you name it. He's had all the best and he's just getting a little bit older. But you know,
I loved his interview too after Saturday. It kind of gave me the feel like he was actually going to win. Mm-hmm. He was asked by, I believe it was Amanda Baloney. I forget her new last name. My apologies. I'm not snooping down to your level here.
No, back up for a second. I got to say this, Amanda, I take it back. I was like checking you out the last time, a couple of weeks and really listening to you on TV and you do.
She's good.
She's a fucking good job.
Yeah.
Sorry, phony baloney. I take you out of that category.
Yeah. No,
so I will say this. When you play in Wednesday Pro-Ams like you did at Crave Ranch in Dallas and you're sucking down those Bloody Marys like that, there's three groups waiting behind you, lady. Keep it moving.
Wow. And you heard it there first, folks, or maybe last. But she asked him after the round on Saturday, you know, you've won before on tour. I forget what the exact question was, but it was basically along the lines of what do you do to prepare to potentially win tomorrow? And he basically said, listen, this is one of the most difficult games in the world. I've been out here doing it for 20 plus years. He's like, I'm just going to know that my family's here. I've got a good opportunity to go out there and get it done. And I just understand that this is the toughest game on the face of the planet. And these guys are the best guys in the world. So I just got to go out there and do what I do. And hopefully I come out with a good round. And like, it was just so truthful and honest, and you felt the genuineness from him, that it wasn't a BS answer or somebody who's like, you know, got the bravado of, oh yeah, I'm going out there, I'm going to win, I'll get perfect sleep tonight, and my game's in perfect shape, blah, blah, blah. He's like, man, hopefully I got it, you know, and hopefully it all kind of connects and comes together. Well, it really takes the pressure off, it felt like.
Yeah. And I think a veteran knows something like that. And I think you just described Lucas Glover in more words than I could ever describe him. He's real. He gets it. He understands it. He doesn't expect anything. Nothing's giving to you. And it was, what a great story. You know, you got to win to get in, right?
Yeah.
We had a couple of those scenarios. Billy Horschel, Billy Ho, Micah's new guy start, you know, Billy Horschel is Billy Horschel. I don't care what kind of a slump, you know. I know that when Billy was talking to Mike about taking that job and me flipping to SH Kim, that Billy told Mike, he goes, man, that kid's going to be a good player. He's such a good ball striker and that kind of stuff. And you know, I told Mike, I go, Billy Horschel is Billy Horschel. He's won a FedEx Cup event. He cannot be a ghost. He could be a ghost for a year or 2 years, and then he's going to win something by, you know, five shots or something like that. I've seen him do it a couple times over. So he had his chance, and he just had it. He had a terrible day on Sunday, but that's what this tournament is really about, right? It used to be about getting in the 125, but it's about, you know, the bubble watching and the guys that actually.
That was okay, but I feel like it was anticlimactic.
It was boring as shit, man. Yeah. With only 70 guys. Listen, number one, with only 70 guys, it's not the same. Even though you have Justin Thomas and Adam Scott, who finished just literally outside the number by, I think, 9 points and 20 points respectively. I mean, it's not the same. It's more drama when it's 125 and it's those guys that are rookies or veterans where there's a real storyline. I just didn't. Agreed. I know Justin Thomas is a storyline, but it's more of a shock storyline that he's even in that situation. And he fought his balls off to try and get there and that kind of stuff. The only thing that rubs me wrong about this whole deal, and we'll get into the new schedule coming up a little bit later, but I can't stop thinking randomly. I'm like, well, what's the big deal? It's Justin Thomas. You know, he's going to get one of those four sponsor spots for all those big ones and that kind of stuff, which I get it. He's earned it. But some of those sponsors picks drive me absolutely crazy, you know, but I think it's more exciting when it's guys, it's like these no-name guys or rookies fighting for their status, you know, not fighting to just get into Memphis, but for their whole status and their whole car and their whole livelihood the next year. But I'll tell you what, it was a good finish by JT. He really didn't have much going all week, did he? And you know, to man, 9 times out of 10, that chip shot on 18 goes in. And dude, he gets beat by 9 points. I mean, it wasn't even, I couldn't even tell you if it was 70, but I think it was Ben Griffin. But there was no real drama between Ben Griffin, Vincent Norman, or JJ Spahn, that 67, 68, and 69 number where, you know, I know they were showing it on the leaderboard, they were scrolling and that kind of stuff, but I felt like they did a better job when it was the top 125 and they would tell you exactly what every pot made and that kind of stuff. A la like Steve Sands used to do way back at East Lake for the Tour Championship. You remember he'd have the board out and shit like that. But
I loved all of that. I mean, I thought it was great theater and cool. Really it's led to everything. I mean, LIV Golf has destroyed a lot of things, and this happens to be one of them, to where it's the top 70 players, and then it gets cut down to the top 50 after next week. So it's kind of, we're in an interesting situation with the PGA Tour and this whole thing, because with Tiger joining the board, but hang on a second. I just had a thought that came in. As you mentioned the name Steve Sands, did you see that priceless moment when with Camilo? My gosh, that was fantastic. Where Camilo's mic is up and it's attached to the headset. So he starts talking, doing a little bit of analysis, and all of a sudden Steve Sands knocks it down for him. What a class move. And Camilo, they kept the camera on him in at least the Instagram clip that I saw. And Camilo kept going, thanks, man. Thanks. He was like, it was just a classy move. I love that. Yeah. So going back to the PGA Tour board and everything with, you know, Tiger joining. And now, I mean, the question is, that comes from that is, are they going to get this deal through, or is Tiger going to potentially help block that whole thing from going through? Apparently they have till the end of the year to get this all done, is what I've heard.
Can I tell you missed the news flash that broke in the last couple hours?
Oh, snap.
Andy Pasner from the PGA Tour,
who was based
second in command, resigned. And Andy Pasner has been with the tour for 30 years. And I almost wanted to send him a text and that kind of stuff, because Andy Pasner was a little bit like Jay. Like, he actually talked to you and looked at you and asked you how your day was going and what could we do better and that kind of stuff. But for a guy like that, after 30 years, to resign, just, I don't know, Something's weird. I mean, Jason Gore has taken a big position with the PGA Tour, but you could technically say that Andy Pasner was second in command of the whole PGA Tour. So something is definitely brewing.
Something's awry, Bobby. Something's awry.
You know? I mean, they could squeeze guys out too. I understand that with Jason Gore coming into a new position, maybe getting more hands off of the players. But I mean, honestly, my instinct says that something's out of control and Andy doesn't agree with something, and he's made millions of dollars and he's going to probably play golf for the rest of his life. But he was a great guy. Hey, did I tell you I had a Jay Monahan moment last week?
No.
Talk to him just randomly.
No.
We were an alternate for the Wednesday Pro-Am, and I was walking into the caddy thing, and I was talking, chit-chatting with somebody, and I was walking to the range or whatever. And this guy's like walking towards me and he's staring at me, you know, and I'm like, oh, who's this dude? And I look up and it's Jay, right? I don't know if you're supposed to call him Commissioner or Jay, but I call him Jay. And I'm like, oh, hey, Jay, what's up? He's like, oh, hey. We shook hands. Great handshake. Looking you right in the eye. And I'm like, how you feeling? He's like, oh, man, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking and that kind of stuff. And I just looked at him. I go, let's fucking go, Jay, like that. And he, I don't know if there are people standing around or anything like that. He couldn't verbalize what he wanted to say, but he got like 6 inches from my face and he goes, let's fucking go. Like
nice.
That.
I'm wow, like, Jay Monahan moment.
Yeah, and the whole time home, I'm thinking, am I supposed to call him Commissioner? Because he's just Jay.
The commish. I mean, you can call him anything you want. You're Bobby Brown.
Sure.
You're Bobby Brown. You're Bobby Bizzle.
Jay, why are we running out of Titleist Pro V Reds?
Yeah. Why? What is with that?
Tell these tournaments to order more. But anyways, thumbs up with Andy Pasner. So I don't know.
Is if that's the Red Pro V the one to go with, Bobby?
Yeah, I think so. Plenty of guys play the blacks, but I mean,
play the blacks, but I'm due for a change.
70 or 80% of the tour player Titleist staff guys or Titleist ball guys play the reds. I mean, we're literally running out of them. You have to go hoard them and hide them in your golf bag, or your guy's going to get posted up on the range late in the year for like 10 minutes.
Folks.
I don't know. They have four or five different golf balls. I don't even know what the star or the dash
is. The left dash.
Yeah, I got this, but I got a buddy who I give
golf popular.
To. And he's like, can you get any left dash? And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me just walk into the fucking
area. Amateurs love it. I was actually playing last weekend, and all of a sudden this guy in the group that we had one single that joined, and he had the left dash ball. And one of the guys in the group, that he mixed up the balls, and he had it, and he's like, oh, yeah. Shoot, I got to give this back to you. It's a left dash. And the guy's like, oh, no, I got a ton of them. You take it. And like, there was this back and forth that took place to where he's like, no way, man, this ball, this left dash is absolutely incredible. I got to give it back to you.
I'm going to make two comments on Titleist golf balls. When they do ball testing about twice a year, and they ask every player for about 20 or 30 minutes. Right. And I watch golf balls for every day for 20 years, right? I can't tell. Randomly, I can tell the difference, but I can't tell the difference. And so I asked the Titleist ball guys, I'm like, what's the difference with this? And he starts going through the shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is he saying? Is it softer on the greens or not? That's basically my question. But it's funny. I'll tell you a story about my kid on the range last week. They do have some dashes and that kind of stuff. And the guys who are back there and they separate the balls, they work really hard and they're under pressure trying to get them clean and flip. But they'll mispick and put them in the wrong bag sometimes, right? I saw my guy hit two shots with a 7-iron and looked at him real funny. And then he kind of clipped another ball down and that kind of stuff. I go, what's wrong? He goes, oh, those are dashes. I go, you can feel that? He goes, yeah, I can feel that. And wow. I'm like, holy shit, how can you feel that? I just watched flight and everything like that, you know? So
I haven't hit him. I wouldn't know. I have been a continual Pro V1 black user.
Yeah.
So the red, I haven't been in a very, very long time. Once they made the switch between the two, do you remember the switch a few years back when all of a sudden the black was a red, the red was a black?
Yes.
Well, I have stayed black the entire time, and I think it's time to go to the red because
You know, my funny story is when I was playing a lot of golf with Dustin, I was playing every single day, and I get all his free golf balls, right? He'd just give them to me, and I would never go. And that was a soft TaylorMade, and I would never, when I was out of TaylorMade and I had to play Titleist, they didn't feel the same to me. They felt harder on the club face and that kind of stuff. And now I probably wouldn't be able, now, honestly, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, to be honest with you. You know what I would play if I was
you, Matt? Is that because you never play?
Exactly. I got a closet full, though.
Are you about to say Kirkland? I'm not playing Kirkland.
No. Play whatever you can get for free.
Ah,
that's the key.
I like that. Because
I think golf balls.
I don't get anything for free anymore.
What is a dozen Titleist Pro V1X cost at TPC Scottsdale? It's probably close to $100, isn't it?
25. I haven't played TPC Scottsdale in a hot minute, Bobby, because. Right. I'm not going to say anything bad. I just love it when the stands are up. I don't like it when the stands are down. I think they should permanently build the stands. I think it should permanently be built as a full stadium course.
Man, I'm sure they got a full tee sheet all the time, but they really have a full tee sheet then. Could you imagine? What is a dozen Pro V1X cost if you go into
$65 at the PGA Tour Superstore?
Okay, that's what I wanted to know right there. And that's probably the best deal you can get right there. It's probably $65, right?
I mean, you go to the golf course, you're buying a sleeve for probably $15.
Yeah. I gotcha. Anyways.
Yeah. Where were we?
Broomstick exact
last week. Jay Monahan.
Yeah. Well, I'm going back to the broomstick exact last week. Ben On finished second last week. I think Ben On is the best Korean in the golfer right now. Best Korean golfer.
He certainly looks like it. It looks like the freshest one.
Well, because he's got a freshy attitude too. And he has every single shot in the book. He's broomstick putting well. He can get up and down from a trash can, and he is really, really, really on form. And remember, for a few years, he was a solid top 40 player in the world, right? And then he lost his shit and he went to Sean Foley, and he's got it back and he's putting well. So it was I'll tell you what, wrap up Greensboro. The only good thing I can tell you about the 70 and that kind of stuff is it certainly upgraded the field, having Adam Scott and Justin Thomas in there, and your leaderboard with Billy Horschel.
They were too far back, though. I mean, the only thing that was cool was that Justin Thomas was right there coming down to 18, needed to make a birdie to get in, and his almost chip in from, I mean, the hook, the sweeping hook he had to hit just to get it up there was incredible. Yeah. I mean, it really showed the level of competitiveness from Justin Thomas.
Do you think he over-dramatized that hook, the way he chased after the ball and everything? Yeah. I mean, he ran after that thing like
Showman, Bobby.
Dude, stop. He ran up to that thing like it was going to be 12 feet or 8 feet. And I'm like, it's 20 yards short. What the fuck? I jumped off my couch.
He's a showman. He wanted to give one for the audience. You never know.
You know what me and that showman have in common? We're both off for about 5 weeks.
Yeah. Bobby, who'd you have last week for our penny bet?
I had JT Poston. Who'd you have?
Dang it.
Yeah.
I had Justin Thomas.
Smart guy. Yeah. Smart guy.
So you took that one.
Yeah, but I got shelled in that other league.
Well, that's why I was teeing it up a little bit there for you. Yeah, I wanted you to have a moment.
I just hit a fairway, and now I'm going to miss a couple when we get to LIV Golf. Yeah. So,
which I am now the expert of LIV Golf once again, folks, of being able to pick the worst players in the world.
You always have been the expert of LIV Golf, and I give you those props all the time, and you just brag what a better picker you are. Obviously, you're a better picker than me. I can't get away from my heart, bro.
So hang on a second. So that brought you down from 12,000 pennies down to 11,000 for a moment.
But we'll get there.
Move right into where the final event of the season ends. So the PGA Tour 2023 season is complete. It is done. It is over. We are now on to the FedEx Cup playoffs, where it is the top 70 players. And this week we've got the FedEx St. Jude Championship preview, which is right behind me, folks. Yep. This is the St. Jude. And boy, oh boy, is this going to be, shall I say it, an exciting week?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, of course it's going to be an exciting week. Remember last year when we had this tournament, it wasn't exciting because it was the shell shock of all the live guys not being on the range. And the Cam Smith drama was going down last week too, right? Where he actually skipped the next FedEx Cup event, the top 50 event, to announce that he was going to play the Tour Championship and jump to live. But
do you know if anybody's not showing up to this one?
No, they're all there.
Nice. I like
they're all there. Yep.
Maybe that's the one good thing that came from this, because didn't a lot of guys skip that first week when it was the top 125, if they were in the top like 5-10, I feel like, I don't know why that my brain is going to that some guys skipped that initial event.
No, you're just thinking about the live guys. What you might be thinking about is, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because this is going to help you when you start picking guys for your penny bet. But I think the reason why you're saying that is because Scheffler and Rory both missed a cut by a shot there last year. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the last cut that Scottie Scheffler's missed. So I think the cut was 2 under and they both finished at 1 under, and Keegan missed a cut, Jason Day. I mean, those aren't
could
names.
Be part of it.
You know, that might be part of it, but no, nobody, I don't think anybody really skipped anything. It was just the fact that, you know, Dustin and Koepka and that crew and the Latinos.
That's
know,
probably I mean, it. I mean, yeah. I just had that feeling that it's like, yeah. Oh, guys were skipping that week, but it probably was. You're well, right. The whole Live Golf deal. Now, Bobby, tell me about this golf course.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's hard as shit. It's Bermuda, you know, it's Bermuda head to toe. It can get, It's very hot. So conditions wise, it can be very physically and demanding on players. You definitely got to hit it in the fairway there. I do believe it's a first tee shot golf course. You can attack when you get in the fairway. It's got some great par threes. You know, the greens are absolutely in mint shape. They're perfect. You can get some nasty wind out there, but if you get out of position, you're just trying to get a putt for par. You remember I had a great year there with a great 3 days with Troy there, where we were, you know, vying for the lead for 3 days in a row. And those par threes that I'm talking about, 11 and 14 or whatever, he went double, triple, you know, and finished 27th or something like that. And, but we were in the mix, but you remember last year was Willie Z popping his cherry in that 3 or 4 hole playoff over Sepp Straka. And I think that's, you know, this used to be a horses for courses with Dustin winning there a couple of times and Brooks Koepka winning there. And the same guys would kind of dominate and that kind of stuff. And I think last year with those guys gone, it opened the door for, you know, a guy like Sepp Straka to come onto the map, or for Willie Z to pop his cherry there. JJ Spahn was dominating the field for 3 days, shot like 78 or 79 the last day. So I think this year you're going to see the same thing, where you're going to get two or three of those names that are going to be riding late there on Sunday that you wouldn't really expect. It's the 70 best players on our tour. I mean, even though Willie Z won it last year, you know, John Rahm was close. Colin was close. Finau was right there. I think they were all tied for fifth. You know, Siwoo shot 62 or 63 the first day there. How about this? Lucas Glover finished third there last year. Brian Harman finished third there last year. So you got, I think anybody's, you know, remember I went on record after we got paired with Sungjae over the weekend there last year. And I'm like, Sungjae, I remember I told you a while ago, Sungjae's going to win the Tour Championship one year. He's going to win Eastlake. And my other one, I predicted he was going to win this one at Memphis. I don't know how well he's swinging. He did grind out a tie for T14 last week, but it's going to be super exciting. And I'll tell you what I think the angle is I know they're not getting much wind, but I think they're going to get some wind on Thursday. So I'm thinking an earlier morning tee time on Thursday might hold some kind of an advantage, but there's some pucker up shots there. And there's a lot of pucker up shots there on Sunday. And brother, I ain't talking about just those par threes that can kill you, but that tee shot right there behind you on 18 is, there's room when you're standing out on the fairway, but when you're standing on that tee, you don't see that much room. There have been, you know, more than a couple tour players that have had a nice solid lead standing on that tee and gave the tournament away Sunday on the last hole and the last tee shot. So, you know, I think it's going to be super exciting. And we need a little puff right now. I don't feel like, you know, hey, Liv was great and everything last week. We'll get to it. Yeah, we'll get to it. But I feel like we need another shot in the arm on the PGA Tour, you know, because there was a lot of drama going on there last year. You remember Hudson Swafford, they were fighting that legal case last year to try and get into the FedEx Cup playoffs, remember, in San Francisco. And I think Hud Swafford or Taylor Gooch were actually parked outside the golf course, somebody was saying, waiting for their agents to call them and say, hey, you won the lawsuit, you can go play. And that never transpired. So the crazy year continues, but I look for a super exciting event on a super great golf course.
We need it. We need it, Bobby. We need a solid big event. I feel like there's been kind of a letdown since the Open Championship. Last week did not really suffice. I know they tried to build that storyline around JT, around Adam Scott. Obviously, both of them are on the outside looking in for the FedEx Cup playoffs. But, Bobby, who you got? Who you like this week for your penny bet pick?
God, I want to pick Sungjae. I want to pick Sungjae.
Wow, and you're not,
Here's why I can't. You want to know the honest truth why I can't pick Sungjae?
Why?
Because I feel like if he plays shit in this one of these tournaments, my phone's going to ring. How bad am I to say that? Wow. You know? Yeah, because one of his four agents reached out to me last week, and he's like, oh, is something bad happening in Greensboro? You can make it to Memphis.
You sure can, Bobby. You know? Yeah. You'll be on the next goddamn flight.
That's exactly what Lori said. That's exactly what my Lori said. You get one phone call and one phone call only. I don't care how much he's offering you or what the low percentage is. You're going.
You're 100% going. I don't care about past relationships, current relationships, friendships, any type of ships. This is a chance to win millions.
I don't know who to pick. I'm very confused right now, but I'll tell you what'll make me not confused. Let's do an A bet and a B bet.
I
love the A's.
All right, let's do the A's and the B's.
Okay. So would you put Brian Harman now in the A group?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take Brian Harman then in the A group.
Wow.
Hasn't picked up a golf club in probably 2 weeks, but I'm going to take.
Yeah, dang it. That was actually my pick. So really? I'm going to flip it on you, and I'm going to go with the guy you didn't want, which was Sungjae.
Okay. Gotcha. Hope you get hammered.
I do too.
Next PGA Tour event. FedEx event. Okay. B group. Do I still pick or do you pick out of the B group?
I get to pick, luckily, because I believe the last time we did a B group, I won.
Yeah, you probably did. I always get that cheap lead with the A group, and then
I'm going to go with a guy who was up there last year.
Oh, don't do it. Don't take my guy.
Towards the top.
Don't take my guy.
I'm going to go with Sepp Straka.
Oh, man. Is he B group, bro?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with JJ Spahn.
That was my other one. Okay. That was my other one. So good. So We have been doing penny bets so long that we basically are stealing each other's bets. Well done.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people to pick, but we all know
about stealing people's players. Liv, Steeler, Matt Cook. Should have this card. Matt Cook.
I did nothing wrong. Nothing at all.
No, you just won that. You won at the right time and decided.
I flipped it around and look what happened.
Yeah, Mongolian reversal, bro.
Yeah. Listen, it's a hell of a wrestling move. So I pulled that off. Well, guess what? We get a quick little mid-roll break for Swannies and for a contest that we're going to have around the Swannies gear. So, Bobby, I'm going to be posting the gear that I got. When you get your gear, because you'll be home for a couple weeks, hopefully, maybe not. But that being said, Pull Hook listeners, listen up. Because we've got something exciting for all of you who recently upgraded your style with Swannies using our special promo code PullHookGolf25. Get ready to show off that fresh look because we want to see it. So here's the deal. Simply snap a pic of your Swannies gear, whether it's on or off. Don't really care. Obviously, we don't want to see you with the clothes off, but if you want to lay it out on your bed or whatever, you're not one of those guys likes to take a selfie, that's completely fine. But we want you to create an Instagram story with it. Make sure to tag at Pull Hook Golf and at Swannies Golf in that story. And here's the best part. By doing this, you're automatically entered for a chance to win an exclusive Pull Hook Golf hat. Now, these things have been like wildfire out there. We have not had a new order that has gone out or has come in recently. So we just put in a brand new order for these things. I mean, we literally have sold out multiple times. So now, not only will you be rocking your new Swanee style, but you might also get a chance to top it off with our signature hat. So get creative, have fun, and let's flood Instagram with the freshest golf looks out there. Can't wait to see all your entries. Now back to the show, Bobby. And boy, do we have a great little segment here, which is unveiling the 2024 PGA Tour schedule. Yes. I hope you have your notes going on because we've got 8 new signature events.
Yeah, we do. Crush me. Crush me. Pebble's one of them.
Yeah.
Hilton Head's one of them. My 2 favorite golf courses, my 2 favorite tournaments. But listen, I looked over the schedule. The schedule doesn't change. The only change in the schedule is obviously these upgraded events. 3 of them are going to have cuts, you know. Yes, the top 50 guys get in, but also they are saying that it's going to probably be between 70 and 80 guys. So there's a little light at the end of the tunnel for us regular guys, because you can, you know, there's sponsors. My guy would never get a sponsor's exemption pick unless CJ Cup was one of those. I will say that the only mystery in that is there is an open date there and there's no CJ Cup. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
open date, there's no CJ Cup, but I am connected to the Koreans. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but apparently that open date, you're hearing it first on Swanee sponsored Pull Hook Golf, that open date you see on that is going to be the CJ Cup. And it's actually going to go to Craig Ranch. It's actually going to go to Craig Ranch where we play the old Byron Nelson tournament. Well, it was an AT&T Byron Nelson tournament. So I think that's the only fill in. I will say that, obviously, Honda did not renew their sponsorship, but we are going to have a tournament still there at that golf course.
Yeah, they said they're waiting for a new title sponsor.
Yeah, a new title sponsor. But I don't think there were any surprises to me about it whatsoever. I mean, we pretty much knew what the designated events were. Probably bummed out for Scottsdale, that Scottsdale's not going to be a designated event this year, because you were a $20 million purse last year, weren't you? Yeah. You were one of those big purses last year, but maybe
it's a bummer.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe with that circus, they were probably like, you know,
we tried it. Didn't work. Yeah, let's press on.
But I'm more interested to get some more information on how you play your way if you're outside the top 50. Like, I'm reading about what the Swing 5 is. Have you heard about the Swing 5 players? That's, you know, when the first one comes up, that's the current FedEx Cup leader for the first 3 events, or dating back to so-and-so there. So there's all these swing numbers where you can get in and that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, JT and Adam Scott, is that your dog?
It is.
Yeah. Hey, Rover, what's up?
It's happy. Remember, I got the golden doodle Happy and the fish Gilmore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good old Happy and Gilmore.
Dogs. So anyways, I'm really more interested in that, to see how you can, you know, play your way in. The funny thing for me is, you know, there's 7 or 8 events in the fall coming up where you can do some damage and get in and possibly lock up getting into one of those events. Obviously somebody is going to lock up, and his agent was telling me playing 3 for sure, maybe 4. So the first 3 being Napa, Jackson, Mississippi, Vegas, the fourth one being Zozo, being in Japan. And then he's going to miss, 3 or 4. And now I'm starting to think about that. And I'm like,
It's going to take a little bit to catch up in terms of some points.
The flip side of that is, for all of these designated events, it seems to me that there's an opposite field event happening that weekend too. Like, there's a new one in Myrtle Beach coming up next year. And so you'll have plenty of opportunities to try. Either way, I feel like I'm going to be caddying 35 weeks a year. It's just a matter of if I'm caddying in $6 to $8 million purses, which is crazy to say, like, that's low or something like that. It's funny. We were laughing last week. We're like, what's the purse this week? You know, and we're like 7.2 million. And everybody's like 7.2. And I'm like, remember 5 years ago when 7.2 was like a WGC 7 or 8. So that's just a little early thanks to live there for that, because we know where that all started from. So
not sustainable though. That's for sure.
What do you think, as a viewer, what did you think about the schedule? Any opinion or anything that caught your eye?
I mean, not really.
No.
The only thing that was kind of a bummer was, I mean, from a personal side, with knowing that you're on the bag for SH, and I'm thinking he's going to be within that top 80 players, right?
Yeah.
That are going to be in there. And then you got some of those swing categories as well for the top 5 players that are within the top 70 or top 80. I don't know. I just would hate to see a situation like what we're dealing with right now, to where like a Justin Thomas or an Adam Scott or somebody with a big name isn't in one of those events because they're ranked lower than that. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I am disappointed to see that the FedEx Cup isn't changing and going back to 125. It's going to stay at the 70 and then go down to 50 again.
I will say this. Things are very fluid on the PGA Tour. That could change at any time. It's funny, the last 3 weeks where we're like, oh, they could change it to 90 at any moment. And everybody would be ecstatic about it. I'll tell you the one thing a little bit, you know, obviously Pebble's like my spot, you know. So when I saw I knew Pebble was going to become one, but I didn't really believe it. And they still have the amateur part, and I don't. So, excuse me. So the deal is they're going to play. What are they going to play? Spyglass and MPCC Thursday and Friday, and then they're just going to play Pebble alone Saturday and Sunday over the weekend. And the amateurs, the celebrities, will only play the first 2 days. But honestly, I mean, a designated event with. I'm not talking shit to people, but people do go to see these celebrities and buy tickets and that kind of stuff.
For sure.
It's like the fairways are, it's Monterey, man. You know what I mean? It's Monterey. You never know what the weather's going to be like. And it's not like that picture behind you where there's just tons of people everywhere, even for such an iconic place. So I'm like, I don't know about this whole amateur thing for fucking 2 days and Bill Murray out there doing his shenanigans and and the rest of the look at me celebrities or athletes or whatever. No, athletes aren't really like that, you know, but you know, you can't have Chris Berman out there fucking hitting, you know, 30-yard pole hooks off a 2T somewhere and almost killing.
I do love a good boomer.
Like yeah,
the just boomer. Pull hooking the crap out of it. I love that. But did you notice that while Pebble is 80, that every other field size for the next seven signature events is between 70 to 80? There's not a distinct number.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because I think they're gonna fill in with these swing guys. You know,
the next 10 and the swing five. That's what they're calling them for 15 next members. Next 10,
the swing five, four sponsors exemptions. I mean, you could put Judson Thomas and Adam Scott in.
Did you just call him Judson Thomas?
Did I? I don't know. My bathroom's running behind.
How's that zin patch?
My bathroom's there. I got a plumber coming from 11 to 1 tomorrow. I need to be home. I got a $300 water bill.
You hate to hear that.
300 is usually 168.
Yeah, that's a lot, Bobby. Jeez, Bobby. What's going on there?
I'm blaming the kids. Lori sent me the bill. She's like, the water bill's 300. And I'm like, yeah, I'm at the Spring Hill Suites. What are you guys doing over there?
Your kids to the age to where they just turn on a hot shower for a good 45 minutes?
No, I think it's the boys' toilet upstairs keeps running and running and running, right? So I'm like turning the water down in the back, and I think I got it fixed. And then I hear it in the morning, and then this little baby behind me in the bottom level is like, oh, it's just fucking with me right now. All right, what else?
All right, so we went over the 2024 PGA Tour schedule with the eight signature events. Kind of explained a little bit about the next 10, the swing five. They got all these names for it now. Yeah. I feel like a full swing documentary is coming soon based off of that. We'll see. But let's get into our favorite topic, which is LIV Golf and Greenbrier. Great little golf tournament out there in West Virginia. I mean, I remember they have not changed the carpet, by the way, in the Greenbrier. It's those bright green leaves for the past 20 years. I mean, when I was in college, I went there. My buddy, his parents owned a house in West Virginia, so we would go out there from time to time. And sure enough, he loved the Greenbrier. So we would always go down there, hang out, play golf. They have a bowling alley in there, which is kind of neat.
They casino. They got a casino. Yeah.
I mean, there's some good stuff in there, but that decor is just horrendous. So they had a bunch of promo going on out there with the LIV guys. And they were, I mean, even the Torque GC were like jumping on couches and stuff I saw. And then you got the Majestics doing a little weird dancing as they were walking in. There's so much promo going on around LIV Golf trying to get this thing hyped. But I will tell you this, I was watching the actual broadcast on TV on the CW, and some of these commercials are funny, man. They've got some obscure sponsors filling up some air on the actual, because before I just watched it on the app. Now I actually pulled it up on the CW and was watching it. And that was an interesting thing to see, but there's so much bravado behind LIV Golf still. I'm like, guys, you essentially have a deal with the PGA Tour right now to where it sounds like you're going to survive potentially. So can you just drop like all this stuff as the greatest event that's ever taken place? Like all these big, huge, like the grandiose type of talk and speech just drives me absolutely nuts. That's why it was really refreshing talking with Neil Hubman from the LAGC, the Los Angeles Golf Club, the part of the new TGL league. Did you catch that interview that I did with him? Come on, no. Bobby. Oh, you got to catch up, buddy. That was a good one because we talk a lot about the tech and everything, but he was very humble.
I'm very busy, but I do know that he had 2,000 views, and that's always my number, but he's not as many views as me and you get together. Thanks, Neil.
Oh, Bobby.
No, but it is on my it's on my to-do list. I actually have it texted to myself. I text myself messages now on the phone and hope that I don't read them because sometimes I look at it like 3 days later and I'm like, oh shit, I was supposed to get the brakes down on the car.
It's good that you're figuring out how to deal with that dementia. Now,
yeah. Let me feel back.
Good old AARP.
Nine.
So anyways, it was nice to hear from him in that interview, just how humble and like how excited they are about it, but it's such a different feel to that bravado and that grandiose of LIV Golf. And like I've told you a million times, like I like LIV Golf. So don't think LIV lovers don't feel like I am picking on LIV Golf because I do like the team aspect. I do like the actual teams. I like some of the players that are out there, but I do not like the fact that they bumped up the coverage because of the weather in West Virginia. By the time I woke up, which yes, folks, I'm on the West Coast and I did sleep in a bit on Sunday. It's been a long couple of weeks. But that being said, I woke up and the tournament was over. I would go on Instagram and all of a sudden everybody's talking about Bryson's 58 and how remarkable and everything, which kudos, man. What a freaking round.
I mean, 58. You know, he went 61-58. That's pretty impressive. I know, you know, I know from being there a bunch every year that the tour was there, that when that place starts, it's super short, right? When that place starts softening up and these bombers.
And you're at elevation.
Well, you know, you're at elevation, the ball goes forever. But when it softens up like that, you know, your fairways are much wider than they potentially are when it's been firm and fast. So he got the perfect conditions, but I'm not taking anything away from a 58. But that course is known for throwing up 50s. You remember Kevin Chappell came back after some time off on a Thursday a few years back and shot 59 right off the bat and had a chance, had a very makeable putt to shoot 58. So it's not like it's out of the ordinary for somebody to go super duper low there. I think the bigger story is like how does Dustin play so bad there? Or but then I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, Pauline is there. They have a casino. There's alcohol. You know, maybe he was a little bit
taking your like shots, that. Huh? Like, love that.
That wasn't really a shot. That's a you know,
that's a fact, huh?
That's an experience comment, is what that is. That's an experience comment. So I don't know. Maybe he's just wasn't in the mood to play golf. But that should be a course that he could definitely manhandle when he's playing his best. But I gotta. You know, I don't like Bryson. We all know that, but I got to take my hats off to him. 61-58 to drain that bomb on number 9. That's a good on number 18. That par 3. That's a good hole to finish on. And obviously, I think he hit the wrong club in there because he was nowhere near pin high. But he walked out of there with 58, 4 million big ones. And I was reading that he's got a new crank driver in the bag. You know that long drive company. The crank driver, and he's like, I hit it on the toe. It's such Bryson. He's so full of shit. I hit it on the toe. I hit it on the heel. It goes straight. It goes far, you know? And now and here's another thing. He's like, they're like, how do you get in the mindset for that? He's like, well, when I was a junior golfer, I used to play up at like 5,700 tees, you know, yard tees, which I think he's just bullshitting. And he's like, everybody should do it. All you young juniors out there.
Yeah, never ever heard that from him ever before. No, and all of a sudden he shoots 58 and he comes up with this story. Shit.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. He's like, oh yeah, then you just press yourself to get into the mindset of what 10 or 11 or 12 under is. And I'm like, there ain't no fuck. There's not very, what junior golfer goes out and plays from 5,800 yards and is still going to shoot 10 or 11 or 12 under? I'm sorry. I just don't think. I thought that was a bullshit Bryson comment. It's a look at me comment, right?
Also, I didn't like that he got on Dom. Dom asked him after the round, a very, like, granted, It's an emotional question. Ask him about his dad that had recently passed away a couple weeks back, which I'm totally considerate of. And I, Bryson, I mean, certainly we've run into our scenario with Mikey Perez and, Bats dealing with that. And we had to deal with that. And it's a tough time, but it just goes to show some character there when all of a sudden, yes, exactly. When all of a sudden you get asked that question and you get pissed. I mean, there was a genuineness to him being pissed off at Dom for asking that question or bringing it up. And it's a valid question. Like like you want to see that emotion. You want to see him care about his father that had recently passed away and what this means to him as a victory instead of worrying about crying on air. Like,
well, that's the evilness in him, right? That's the evilness. You saw it when he caught the rope.
Yeah. You
know, caught the rope to the eye. That's the evilness in him that all of us know that have been around him for a while, or any guys that have caddied him from before. Micah, we could have Micah, but you know, Micah went through this on the show. He's like, Micah said to me numerous times, if that guy fucking God called me to go to Live, I would go to work for anybody on the Live tour but him. And you know, that's just the fact. He's just kind of a dick, you know? I don't know how else to say it, man. He's just kind of a dick. And it's funny
But congrats.
Yeah, congrats. You bring his dad up. But I told you I caddied for his dad when I was just a regular caddy up at Spyglass and that kind of stuff and some NCGA events. And it's like you hear him say that and you're like, that's John's kid, you know? And I shouldn't say that. Rest in peace, John. But, you know, there's just completely different personalities. You know, John was cool as shit, laid back NorCal guy. And Bryson's just basically from another planet. But anyways,
Bryson just comes across a little spoiled.
Yeah. I can't do a leaderboard rundown because I don't even know who was close or anything like that, because I really didn't even pay any attention. But I was like you on Sunday. I woke up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to see how Liv's
doing. Hater. Our Liv golf fans are going to just absolutely destroy you in the comments.
We've been getting too many nice comments, me and you, so we have to get some negative ones too to kind of even it out. But
honestly, I do love – you know what I love about YouTube, though, is that – there's the like button and there's a dislike button. And there's like one to two guys every episode that loves just to hit that dislike button while we get all these likes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause I only see it on the back end, but there's always like one or two guys. They did not dislike, which it's probably going to happen now, but they did not dislike the interview that I did. It seems to be a bash to Bobby Brown as to say, I don't like that you don't like Live Golf. I have a feeling it's the Liv Golf fans or the Liv Golf lovers. We like to refer to them
as. You
know
who I think it is? I think it's Ashley or Pat Perez.
It probably is. And they probably think it makes a huge difference, and it absolutely does.
They can't. She can't wait. Her whole day has probably evolved around when we drop, so she can see if we talked any shit about her or her wonderful husband. And he lost a brother, so I'm done shitting on him.
No,
didn't he finish last? Next to last?
No. Well, he was down there for sure.
Yeah. No, he beat one guy. I was sure to look at that. You better pull that leaderboard up because I think he was T44, T45, two or three ways, and he beat one guy.
Yeah, let's go over the rundown real quick. So the player signed to it, we've got Bryson DeChambeau wins it at 23 under, which very impressive because, like you said, he went 61-58. I mean, that's pretty freaking solid to finish up a golf tournament, even if it is what you like to refer to as the best exhibition on ice. Now we've got Mito Pereira with a nice little second. I mean, your boy is crushing it over there. I mean, absolutely living the dream. I see his wife constantly posting on Instagram, all these things, which is great. I absolutely, Scotty McGinnis. I mean, he looks so happy and just like such a good guy in general that you're just like, you gotta be happy for him. So Mito finishes second. And then you got Richard Bland, which was a surprise, tied with David Puig. And then also Matthew Wolf made an appearance, which he had a very strong first round at 9 under, the 61, but then went 3 under, 4 under, which isn't anything to bat an eye at, but that puts you in fifth place. I mean, these guys are starting to really play some golf, which is nice to see. Now, Greenbrier's known for low scores. I mean, you didn't always have the best players going out there when it was on the PGA Tour, but HV3 was at 14 under, part of my range goats. Love my range goats. Taylor Gooch, though, I mean, 13 under, finished in 11th. You know, you got some other notables like Sergio Garcia finally getting close to a top 10, 12th and 12 under.
Where did DJ finish? DJ did not play well.
Dustin Johnson was 32nd.
Where was Perez?
Perez was, and I mean, for good reason, Perez was at 45th. Yeah. So he was two slots from last place.
Where was Lefty?
Lefty, he was actually, let's see here, 26th.
Wait, back up on Perez. If you're looking at a live leaderboard, see how they do it. They go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They don't put T's in there.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. It's a good question. And I don't know. Maybe they do a card like count back. Kind of like a scramble tournament where it's like your last three holes.
No,
I have no idea. I really don't. That's actually something that I'm going to find out. And we're going to talk about it on the next episode because I am going to reach out to my contacts over at Live Golf, which I have none. So we'll figure it out though.
Where did you see Lefty? Where did you say Lefty finished?
26th. He had a great tournament for him.
Did you see he had them videotape him during the practice round? Did you hear this?
No.
You see, him and Cam Tringali are playing DeChambeau and somebody else. And I broke the code because I know the gambling lingo, but they actually let this go to social media. It's on film. And Phil's like, okay, what do you want to do? And Bryce is like, eh. And Phil goes, let's do a G for 9 holes. When you're tapped out, you can press for half, you know? So that's $1,000 for 9 holes. And that's not what Phil's talking about.
What is the tapped out though for a half?
When you're closed out.
Okay, 500.
Two down with one to go or whatever. You can press for half. I heard that every Tuesday for 5 years. But social media was pumping Phil up that he bathed DeChambeau. So they're broadcasting these gambling rounds now, basically. They're actually talking about it, which I think is very ironic because I just read Alan Shipnuck got a copy of Billy Walter's book, and I guess it is going to be very exciting. And it's not going to be good for Phil that there's a couple chapters about Phil and how
Billy Shipnuck book wasn't good for Phil. I can't wait for this new one because I've heard from multiple people that this one's going to be scathing.
I'm just shocked. We all know gambling goes on in a lot of practice rounds and that kind of stuff. But to be so open about it, if you're Phil with the gambling problems that you've had, issues you've had in the past, I don't know. I was just a little surprised, honestly.
I think he's starting to own it. I think he's going the Charles Barkley route where it's like, I gamble. Like, that's what I am. Like, I mean, they had a sit down with him and his brother, and they even had some jokes that went on about gambling and so forth during that little sit down. They're doing a ton of promo with Live Golf, which I got to give them credit. It's a lot of press and marketing materials that's going out. Yeah. They're hitting up social media, which they know their fan base is really around YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. So they're doing a ton of these short clips and everything. So, I mean, kudos to them for doing that on their media and marketing side. But my boy, Siwon Kim, there's only one guy that beat him this week for last place with our golf picks, but louder.
I don't even know who I picked in that. Who did I have?
Phil.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah. And then you went with his team too. So not only you had one option, which was Jedediah Morgan or Jediah. It's not Jedediah. I'm sorry. And then from the team standpoint, your High Flyers finished fourth.
I know.
They played fantastic.
I did remember that part.
But can you believe the four aces finished last? Last. I mean, you could have picked Ripper GC, four aces. You just wouldn't have seen four aces being last, but I get everything going on with the Perez family. And then, you know, DJ, I don't know what the deal is with DJ.
Is he knowing alcohol? Well, do you know he's won this year, but he's won one time this year, but he hasn't been close to a threat in these majors. And honestly, you got too much money now, bro.
Well, you were the one that called it, which you heard through the grapevine that basically he's going to run out his 3-year Live Golf contract and then just go hang out on the yacht.
Good night, Irene. I'm going to go out on that boat, Bob.
And it makes sense. I mean, it just fits his personality. I don't think it really is something to where. I mean, I think Paulino, it was more about him winning golf tournaments than he is. Well, my range goats finished in six, right? I mean, that whole full swing documentary, she's like, wait till you see what my husband's going to do next. And it's like, okay, he hasn't done much. Yeah. But
1-800 NetJets on a Friday night.
I did notice, though, that he's losing a bit of poundage. I mean, they record a couple clips of him in the gym working out. So
he's a big man. He's an athlete.
Yeah. He definitely is. But we got Bedminster coming up. Hang on a second. So I picked the Iron Head. So yes, folks, our golf picks, but louder. I swept it. I crushed it in pure live golf bravado. I am the best golf picks, but louder champion of all time in the entire universe. The best. So there's my bravado that goes along with the broadcast and everything. Oh, you missed it on the broadcast. They were talking about how could you not have Taylor Gooch on the Ryder Cup team, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're already planning for him not to be on it. Yes. So
why would he be on it? He hasn't really popped a grape at any of the majors. He's dominating LIV, but that's 40 some guys. It's probably 16 or 18 real guys that he's beating. Right. And even, let me tell you something. I'm really close friends with Brian Smitty, who's Zach Johnson's caddy. He doesn't like to give a lot of info about the Ryder Cup team and that kind of stuff. But I've said, you know, live guys and get picks. And he's like, all I got to say is they better qualify. They better qualify via points. So listen.
Well, it seemed like they got that memo, Bobby, because they were trashing the fact that how can you not have Taylor Gooch on the team? How could you not have some of these other players? Like, they were going out. How do you not have a Bryson DeChambeau on there? And that's before Bryson went off on his whole deal. Really, the only one that didn't mention was Brooks, which he qualifies.
Well, Brooks is going to qualify. And honestly.
And the guys want him.
Bryson hasn't done shit for 2 years until last week, until three rounds in Greenbrier when it was soaking wet and a super short golf course.
I mean, I remember not that long ago, you and I were sitting there talking, what is wrong with Bryson DeChambeau?
Well, yeah, of course. And let me tell you something. Things have changed in the American locker room. They don't want that cancer in the team room anymore. They don't want anybody that's all about them. They don't want a Patrick Reed or a Bryson. I'm not putting Taylor in that category at all because he's the furthest from that. You know what I mean? He would be a team guy, but he is not, you know. Taylor Gooch is an awesome, fantastic player, but I just don't think he's a Ryder Cup player. And these guys ain't going to get picked. The only one that would get picked would be Dustin, because everybody likes Dustin and they know what a powerhouse he is. That would be the only pick. So these guys are just, you know, whacking that keyboard. Do you think these guys that tweet that stuff, like Live Golf Latest and Live Golf Nation, do you think that they work for Live Golf, or do you think they're just Bobby Brown or Matt Cook who just put this thing up and they're fans of Live? Do you think they're paid to do that?
I think they're somewhat related in terms of like somebody that is a part of Live Golf. I think there's some type of connection there.
Okay, obviously.
Because like the Live enthusiast, they end up having all these photos and everything, so that like they had the signed card, like a picture of it and whatnot. So they're obviously getting text messages from somebody who is involved. So I have a feeling there's those close personal ties, which is why a lot of their stuff that they post and everything is so, once again, grandiose and kind of ridiculous. Yeah, but
ridiculous. All right. Golf picks, but louder.
Well, we got Bedminster, my friend. Well, we just covered the results from Golf Picks, but Louder, which I won both. So not much doing there. So I'm up to a sweet 13,000 pennies, folks.
Yes.
Live, and that's going to be a heavy bag that comes onto my doorstep one day of pennies. Now, Live Golf Bedminster is what we have this week. This is a real golf course. I actually love Bedminster.
Who won it last year?
That's a good question. No, he won Boston. Let's go back. I don't know if I can go back on the Live Golf site.
I'm surprised.
I don't think I can.
Pull up anything you want from 2004 on the PGA Tour site.
Yeah, let's see if they don't have anything about last year's tournament on here that I can see, at least in under the pressure of being on with you right now and trying to find it. No. So we're just going to say that, I don't remember who won. It wasn't DJ though, because the only tournament he won last year was Boston.
Gotcha.
Was it Stenson?
It might have been Stenson.
I think it was Stenson.
And I think DJ was in the mix late with Stenson, wasn't he?
I think so, because that's a great course for DJ. Yeah. Like, you need to be long. You need to be accurate, especially off of the tee. There's a lot of trouble you can get into.
That's a Trump course, right?
Trump Bedminster. I've been out there numerous times, being in New York and living in New York City. That golf course is phenomenal. There's nothing bad that I can say about that golf course. And it's a tough golf course. I mean, it stretches out to about, I think, 7,300 yards, somewhere along those lines.
Is there a highway? Is there a major interstate that runs right by it, by one of the holes?
I think there is.
Yeah. If I recall correctly. I think I've driven by it. They got some fescue out there and stuff.
Yes, they have fescue and everything.
I think I've driven by it. It is a good looking golf course from the interstate.
So here we go, folks. I mean, I'm going to go. We got golf picks, but louder. Individual. Yeah. This is going to be a bit of a shock.
No, it's not.
He happened to finish.
Don't bait me like that.
He happened to finish in the last two last week. And I'm going to go Siwon Kim.
Okay.
Who you got?
Jedediah Morgan. Yeehaw.
I just see overalls and an Amish man coming out of that name. But it's Jedediah.
How do you say that?
Jedediah. Jedediah Morgan.
Oh, I'm writing it down. It's Jedediah.
Jedediah.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that extra D in there. Jedediah.
Jedediah. He has a house down on the ridge. He pans for gold.
You know, anybody listening that has the name of Jedediah is definitely going to give a thumbs down on YouTube this week. Now, we've also got the teams, which this is going to be a shocker.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with my flow state right now, which is the Ironheads GC.
Is that Kevin Na's team?
It sure is, Bobby.
Yeah, that's another one you stole from me.
Are you going to go with Jedediah Morgan's team?
Well, is he on Phil Mickelson's team?
Ooh, no, he's not.
Who's on his team?
So his team is the Ripper GC with Cam Smith.
Oh.
Matt Jones and Mark Leishman.
No, I'm going with Lefty's team.
Oh, you're going high flyers.
Yeah, Lefty ain't going to drive it on the map out there.
Oh, the good old high flyers, which, by the way, I don't know if it's always been this way, but I feel like they truncated the name. It's now HY Flyers as a entire one word.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was like that before, but it's like that now. I just noticed
it'll be back. As soon as Phil buys a piece of a cannabis company in California, it'll be back to the high flyers.
That good old high flyers. We're getting real high.
Okay.
All right. Well, Bobby, I'll tell you this. I mean, that pretty much wraps it up. One last quick thing for our golf enthusiasts that are listening right now, the live lovers, our pull hook golf fans. If you want to step up your game in style, head over to swannies.co and use our exclusive promo code pullhookgolf25 for 25% off your entire order. Bobby, I've been getting a lot of text messages from a lot of friends that have been listening to the show that all of a sudden purchased and they just got their gear. And all of a sudden they're like, man, this is the best materials. And I'm telling you, I'm wearing it right now.
Dude, I need that.
Partially recycled.
Do you know which hoodie I'm talking about? Not the one. The one that goes all the way up.
Yeah.
Perfect. I need that hoodie.
That's what they sent me. I've got that. Good. I'm going to wear it next week. I'm going to jack up the AC to 58 degrees like when you asked. Yeah. It's going to be 116 degrees out. It's not going to be environmentally friendly, which...
That's okay.
It's offsets because their materials and their clothes are partially recycled bottles.
Did they send you the Swannies beanie? The beanie with the on it?
The hat, the shirt. But if you look at the shirt closely, I mean, we've got outdoor trees. We got fires. I mean, I love camping. So this is a great shirt, which has a lot of camping things on it. And it also just screams Arizona. I absolutely love it.
You want to know something?
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking about doing next week?
What's that?
I have a couple iconic Swannies flat bill hats in my closet still. I might rock a Swannies flat bill.
That. Well, folks, this has been an action-packed episode full of recaps, previews of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We had quite a bit of Swannies content going on throughout, which is our show sponsor. We also talked about the 2024 PGA Tour schedule on this episode, Live Golf. We recapped and highlighted the Greenbrier. Shout out to Bryson DeChambeau's 58, and yet still somehow we have comments that, we'll leave it at that. And then ending with Live Golf Bedminster, great golf course. Can't wait to see who comes in last and that last place team for our golf picks, but louder. But Bobby, once again, thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
For your time, your effort, and I hope you have a great rest of your week, buddy.
See you, buddy.
See you
next week.
Thank you for tuning in to season 2 of the Pull Hook Golf Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe and go to www.pullhookgolf.com for more information.